Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to appreciate you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to your presence to fellowship around the revealed word of the hour. We commit this morning's service into your own hands, the Sunday school. May you bless it. Pray for as many of your servants that will be standing behind the sacred decks today. May your grace abide with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Welcome to Sunday school. Let's turn in our scriptures as we read Exodus chapter 20 and Isaiah chapter 14. Exodus chapter 20. The first three verses. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. We want to welcome everyone this morning to this Sunday school, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just because of our time, we'll do most of our greetings, maybe in the main service. But just want to take a little Sunday school this morning, a little Sunday school subject, and I trust to take it through the other services, the Lord willing. So for a Sunday school and for a subject, we're going to read some scriptures this morning, and I want to stick to it like a Sunday school, so that the most unchurched person can understand. As we just take it gradually, we want to talk on covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Like I said, we're going to read some more scriptures just to have a background this morning as we go on. Now, from Isaiah chapter 14 that we read, the Bible, as Bible student, we understand that this scripture, you see, was talking about Lucifer. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the earth, which did weaken the nations? Now, this scripture called Lucifer, son of the morning. But something happened before the beginning that made Lucifer to be cast down on this earth. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. That was his ambition. Lucifer's original agenda was the agenda to be worshipped. It was the agenda to have a better kingdom, better than that of his maker. That was his agenda. And we're going to see how this connects with what Apostle Paul called covetousness and idolatry. Before we continue with Isaiah 14, let's turn in our scriptures as you read Colossians 3, 5. This is Sunday school, so just bear with me as we go gradually. Colossians 3, verse 5. The Bible says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Why will Apostle Paul equate idolatry to covetousness? Why will he say covetousness is the same thing as idolatry? What is the connection? What is the similarity? And what has the prophet God to say about this also? Because Brother Abraham said, I preach what Paul preached. Is that right, church? I preach what Paul preached. So, and the message of the hour, as we all know, Brother Abraham said, I am the one to interpret the scriptures to you. For the scripture is of no private interpretation. Because the word of God comes to the prophet. And by his eye of revelation, as God will reveal to him, he gives it to his followers. And Brother Abraham said, those that follow this message must be careful to say only what the tape has said. Hallelujah. And we are careful to say what the tape has said, because the tape is what, you know, brightens and shines more light to the scriptures. It opens it up. Because light, what is the function of light? Light is to reveal. Hallelujah. See, when the light of God, the Son of God, S-O-N of God, you see, it's risen in your heart. If the Son of God, as you know, his light shines in your soul, it reveals, it makes your life more transparent. Amen? When the sun shines on anything, the light comes on anything, is to bring transparency. It's to open up things that are hidden, to drive darkness away. And that is why every Christian life is a life that is opened. Hallelujah. Because the Son of God, you see, the S-O-N of God is living in their soul. So they have no secrets. Their life is open. Praise God. Amen. So covetousness, which is idolatry. And that is what Apostle Paul called it. Also in Ephesians chapter 5. Like I said, we just take it like Sunday school. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. You can see, the first time was not just what you call slip of tongue. Apostle Paul knows exactly what he's saying. Amen? He knows exactly what he's saying. That this thing called
covetousness is equal to idolatry. The first sign said covetousness, which is idolatry. And he said, on this other side, he said, for this we know that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Amen and amen. So it will stand quoting, is that right? That idolatry or covetousness is equal to what? Idolatry. You can't be guilty of covetous practice without becoming an idolater. That is the point we are trying to build. And that's the foundation we make, God will help us to build on for the Sunday school before we go. Now, as we go, just to preempt a little bit or jump forward a little bit, covetousness is the physical practice. I'll read the quotes as we go on. Just follow me. Covetousness is the practice, but the intention is idolatry. Amen? The intention. No, the Bible said God sees the heart. When Samuel was to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, he came, you see, and David was, you know, in the eyes of man, David was a nobody. So when Samuel said, please assemble your children for anointing, David was so insignificant that he was not even considered. He was just in the bush and doing what he was doing, taking care of the sheep and everything like that. You see? But when Samuel came, Samuel was to pour his oil on the first one. God said, no, I am not choosing him. I've rejected him. So on and so forth. We are Bible students. Until I think the seventh or so. And Samuel was wondering, and God told him, he said, you humans, you look at the face. He said, but I look at what? The heart. Because that is where you live. That is the real you. This is just called a pest house that is going to be hung one day on the shelf. And the real you will live. That is the real you. And that real you, which is the heart, is where you live. That is where your intentions are. That is where your motives are. That is where your ambitions are. Amen? So, the intentions, an intention for covetousness is idolatry. You say, oh, what do you mean by that? Just follow me. It's a Sunday school and then We'd like to go gradually. I want to read all the scriptures so that as we go later on in the main service, we just start building on it, on the quotes and all that. Now, we're going to take covetousness in different perspectives. Covetousness, on one hand, you see, is an immoderate desire. An immoderate desire for the possession of something. Either something that belongs to you, or something that belongs to someone else. Lucifer said, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. Covetousness. Now, Brother Abraham told us, Lucifer was God's right-hand man. In a quote, as we're going to read later, Brother Abraham said, Lucifer, the first of all, apart from the children of God, that we are in God before the foundation of the world, Lucifer was the first. Hallelujah. That is why we are senior to Satan. Because we were in the gene of God even before the foundation of the world. And that was the question that Job could not answer. When God told him, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? He couldn't answer it. He was not having the answer then. But thank God for the seven angel messenger, hallelujah, that has given us by the eye of revelation the true answer to that question. That we were in the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. So you see, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Son of the morning, how art thou cast down to the earth? You that did weaken the nations, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will what? Ascend above the stars. Who are the stars? The sons of God. The predestinated children of God. We ascend above them. I will be like the Most High. He occupied the highest office in heaven apart from God. The highest position apart from God. Yet, he was not satisfied with the place God has put him. The position God placed him, he was not satisfied. He wanted his own kingdom. He wanted his own what? Agenda. Amen. Let's read Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. From verse 15. Luke chapter 12 from verse 15. Amen. Amen. All right. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Beware of what? Covetousness. So our Lord spake of covetousness also, and he told us to beware. It's a warning. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance. That is not what makes you a man of integrity. It's good, nothing against that. God blesses you physically. You have all the streets to your names. Wonderful. Nothing against that. We have John Charis. We have Bidao and many of them. They were great men that God blessed. And they were still Christians. Is that right? So, but when you don't have the written, that the written is what is integrity. When you possess these other ones, that's why our Lord is saying, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possess. No matter how wonderful it is, no matter how good it is, without Christ, it is what? Vanity. And that sermon is still, it will keep on quoting. Because people don't want to hear vanity upon vanity anymore. Amen. They don't want to hear anything. Vanity is what they pursue now. When you preach it, they say, vanity, but I've even heard believers say things like that everybody will choose their own vanities. But let me tell you, this message is still the old-fashioned message. Don't get me wrong at all, please. We are not against the blessings of God physically. They are wonderful. We all need them. But just like that little that man that went for wealth, that story that Brother Abraham told in the message, Come Follow Me. You see, Brother Abraham said he took that little flower, and the magic flower was always talking back to him. And when he went to hunt for gold, and when he got the gold, you see, instead of taking the flower along, he left the flower inside. And as he was about going, the flower said, you have forgotten the main thing. Now, the flower did not condemn him for having the gold, but it was telling him, take the main thing along. Are you there, church? So don't get me wrong at all. So get what you want to get, but get the main thing. It must be taken along. So when our Lord says a man's life does not consist of the abundance of gold, of silver, of riches that he has, he's telling you, take the main thing along. Amen. All right. He said, and he spoke, all right. He said, a man's life does not consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. Now, but remember before I made this statement, he told them that beware of what? Covetousness. Then the next verse, he gave a parable about covetousness. Let's see the parable he gave about covetousness. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? His business expanded. His bands expanded. You see, profit came. In fact, he expanded his warehouse. Everything became so wonderful, blessings. And he said, what shall I do? Because I have no room here to bestow my fruits. The blessings were so much that no room to put them. Covetousness. The next parable about covetousness is what? We want to see how does this resemble covetousness? Yeah, Jesus is the one that gave the parable himself. Because as a businessman, when your business is expanding, when God is blessing it, it's natural for you to expand. Amen? You should expand. You should build more branches. Amen? But without the main thing. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my bounds and build greater. There's nothing wrong about this. To build, you see, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In all of this, did you see God inside of any of this one? Amen. But God said unto him, thou fool, beware of covetousness. The next scripture that followed is this. This night that so shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast what? Provided. God said, this night you didn't put me first in all thy dealings. So, Abraham said something in another quote. I pray we'll get there by God's grace. He said, most of these things, he said, when you pass away, he says your children will fight on your property. He says, direct quote. They will fight about it. Ah, I will take the house. I will take the car. I will take this. I will take that. If you have not given them Christ, brother, they will have a refighting. If you have not given them Christ, they will have the fighting real good. So, these things, who will they belong to? Verse 21, let's see. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Are you seeing it now? Why is our Lord coming to him and telling him that fool? Because he laid it for himself alone. But Abraham said, the spirit of I, he said, is a disease. The disease called I. It's a disease, it's a plague. Everything I. Everything myself. Everything only me. Everything myself. Nothing about God. Nothing about God's people. People get so blessed until they even forget God himself. Amen. Praise God. Yes, let's just go gradually as we... All right. Now, we are trying to establish it and to have a good background by God's grace. Now, this was the parable our Lord gave. So we read the scripture also in Exodus chapter 20 that said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Usually, when we quote this, now we are talking about covetousness. We talk about covetousness. We talk about idolatry. And see what covetousness is. And what idolatry is. Not just idolatry of Ogun, Songo, Emirate, what they want to call all those. See, these demons have gone beyond those things. Demons have gone beyond you just gathering irons and pouring degenerate. You see all this degenerate drink, alcoholic drink they pour on them and chew some form of cola nut and spit it on it. See, idolatry has gone beyond that. Witches and wizards have gone beyond those things. The true witch and the true wizard is the man that tried to turn you away from the word of God. And that's how Apostle Paul said, who have what? Bewitched you that you should not believe the truth. It's a bewitching. Somebody turns you away from the real word. It's a witch. That's the bewitching. I'm quoting the scripture, am I right? That's what the Bible said. Who has what? Bewitched. What is bewitching? That you should know what? Believe the truth. He comes here to preach to so. He comes here to preach polygamy. It's bewitching. It's turning them away from the truth of the word of God. And when you are caught within that web, brothers and sisters, your life will be ruined for life. And that is why we must be careful of these things. See, one wrong doctrine, not just one long wrong doctrine. Somebody can preach on them. That is why the burial brethren, they didn't get too used to their ministers. Anytime you come to the pulpit, they will not say, oh, he has been preaching very well. Anytime you come, they make sure what you say is the truth. On every service, anytime you man the pulpit to preach, because the minister can make mistakes too. Rabbi said, I used to, when I was preaching the seven seas, he said, I used to read from Joseph Smith's book. Is that right? Is this Joseph Smith? He said, I will preach the seven seas just within one night. He said, but when the angel came in that room, amen, one day for one seal. And even after the 7 days of the seven seas, you know the story, the sea continued to unveil even until he left. Because even the seventh sea, you can't finish preaching it. The seventh sea is eternity itself. That's what Rabbi said, even when we get into eternity, that there are some things that will continue to unveil. You can't know all of God at once. You know what eternity is? Hallelujah. So, the man must be checked like the burial brethren. That must make sure that everything you say is by the word. And to see a good preacher, even when he make a mistake, we say, oh, it was a slip of tongue. I thought it was like this. And he corrected by the word. Amen. And if you see something also within a minister that you feel that is a mistake, you feel, you don't know, engage him. You may think you are right. At the end of the engagement, you find out that you are wrong. But if you are right, brother, don't feel pompous. Brother said, come with the spirit of what? Humility. Amen. See, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Alright. I want to read from identification. Identification 630123. Paragraph 35. Baba said, I'm sure tonight that we ought to find ourselves somewhere in some character of the Bible so that we would know the outcome of that character and know what our outcome will be. He said, we find ourselves in some character in the Bible so that we know what the outcome of that character was. Amen. And know what our outcome will be also. Because you are a spirit. You are a being. Hallelujah. You represent something. You represent either God or Satan. Because in the message, the greatest battle ever for Brother said, the battles of angels has become the battle of men. You can't be neutral. You are carrying a being. You are carrying a spirit. And that is why I want to trace this thing, covetousness, which is idolatry. What is the connection? Idolatry, like I said, is the intention. What is idols and what is idolatry? Before we go, in a message, oh my, be certain of God, paragraph 9. 50, that the tape number is 590125. 590125, paragraph 9. And it is the very picture of our country today. We are falling under the popular demand. No doubt that the priest thought it would be all right as long as their government okayed it. But I don't care what the government okays. It's got to be what God okays. And the people thought that it would be all right if they anticipated in some of their worldly things. And one might ask me to retrace what I have just said, that it is a very likely picture of today. We may not think that we are idol worshippers, but we are. How? But and the government endorses it. People today are idol worshippers because they worship idols. Some of them worship movie stars for idols. Some worship money for idols, and some worship television stars as idols. Can I hear? Amen. But all that you put before God is an idol. Let it be whatever it may be. All right. It's coming out gradually. Let it be whatever it may be. When you put it before God, that thing becomes your idol. Robert says, some worship money. Some worship those that have money. They must always worship at their feet before they can get money. Idol worshippers. And you that have the money, you want to extract worship, which is idolatry. Hallelujah. Yes, it's an emotional sermon, but we'll take it gradually. So that you'll be entering inside. Hallelujah. I will not hurry over this at all. You know, God has helped me for having, I've meditated upon this for close to 2 years. How can covetousness be idolatry? Took more than 2 years to pray about it, just to build it. And I've been taking it for quite some long time in our church back at home. And I just feel like to share it with you also. Let's see this spirit. Because Brother Bram said, we have to look at a character in the Bible. See if that is what your character is. Because you are the one that cast that shadow. You don't understand. When we say Old Testament is the shadow of the new. Something is... See, this. I have my. When you walk now, I can see my shadow. You can't see your shadow without... See, before there's got to be a shadow, there's an original image that have to cast that shadow. So when you see Jezebel, it was somebody that cast that shadow. Because Bible says Old Testament is what? A shadow of the real to come. And this is the real, which is the New Testament. So when you see a character in the Bible and see the outcome of that character, then you will know what your own outcome will be too. If you are a betrayer, go and look for the end point of a betrayer in the Bible. If you are the type that marries, you want to try to marry a woman in order to secure your dynasty because she's from a rich background. Nothing wrong about that. But what is the intention? See, this sermon is trailing intention more. So, and I don't want you to miss it. Intention is what we're going to talk more on this sermon. So then you have to look at Ahab that was the shadow you casted. Because Ahab was the one that thought when he married Jezebel, his kingdom is going to be great and all that. What was his end point? That's what Rabbi is saying here, that we look at the character in the Bible, see what the outcome of that character was, and we know what our own outcome will be. It's very simple. So what character are you possessing? Amen. What is the kind of life you live? Can you trace it to the scripture? You don't know your life is scripture. You say, well, I don't really know who I resemble for Bible shower. I don't know. Brother, I'm a liar. You resemble somebody. You are somebody. You have not been able. You know why you are confused? Because the character you have is reflecting a wrong person in this Bible. So you don't want to take responsibility. But there's an opportunity to say that, Lord, I find out that my character reflects certain character in the Bible, which is not correct. Lord, change my nature. Amen. He said, change my nature. So we may not think that we are idol worshippers, but whatsoever, whatever is whatever you put before God is an idol. That makes you an idol worshiper. You may not put somebody else, you may not put anything before God, amen, but you may also be guilty of Isaiah 14. You want to exact worship. There's an aspect of people trying to put you before God, which is like worship. And there's another aspect of you trying to exact worship by the position you occupy. Yes. We're going to dig really deep on this. Amen, amen, and amen. And one is, our time is really knocking. God will help us in the main service also. Praise God, amen. That becomes what? An idol worshiper. Whatever. I want us to draw the curtain on that. That all that you put before God, let it be whatever it may be. Bring that quote again, the next verse. Even to Satan, our great adversary, is such a smart one until he even puts sometimes the church before God. Oh, our church. And they'll tell you this is what the word of God says. No, but our church says this. Idol. Is that not what we see in denomination? My geo said this. But the Bible said the woman should learn in silence in the church. My geo said. Our church said. He said Satan is so smart that he knows you may overcome some of these things. Then he bring it into the religious realm for you to even put the church, even Malachi for churches, before God. And becomes an idol worship. God bless you. You might have a great church, it may be a great building, or it may be a great denomination, and again, it may be a great congregation, but let nothing come before God in your heart. Anything in before God is an idol. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to appreciate you for Sunday school this morning. Just commit the main service into your able hands. We pray may you bless it. May your grace help us and break the word of bread of life to us. In Jesus' name.